If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Right in today's episode, we answered live callers' questions. So people called in, and we actually got to help them out on air. But this was after an intro portion. Today's intro was 56 minutes long. We talked about current events and family life. We mentioned a couple sponsors. We talked about fitness studies. Good stuff. By the way, you can check the show notes for timestamps if you want to skip around to some of your favorite parts. Also, if you want to be on an episode like this where we can help you out on air, coach you on air, email us at live@mindpumpmedia.com. This episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Seed. This is the world's best probiotic, hands down. Go check them out. Go to seed.com/mindpump. Use the code 25mindpump for 25% off your first month's order of Seed's Daily Symbiotic. This episode is also brought to you by Ned. They make hemp oil extracts that are high in cannabinoids that reduce inflammation, improve feelings of euphoria, creativity, can help with sleep. This is a CBD product you actually feel. The other ones you don't. Take this one. 45 minutes later, you know you took something. Go check them out. Go to helloned.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get 15% off. Also, this month's program sale, Maps Anywhere. This is the equipment-free or essentially equipment-free. All you need are bands to follow this program, workout program. And then Maps HIIT. This is high-intensity interval training done right. You don't lose muscle. You burn a lot of calories. You build up that strength, endurance. Both those programs are 50% off. You can find them both at mapsfitnessproducts.com. You have to use the code April50 for the discount. All right, back to the show.
T-shirt time! And it's T-shirt time.
Oh, shit, Doug. You know it's my favorite time of the week.
We've got six winners this week. Three for Apple Podcasts, three for Facebook. The Apple Podcast winners are Dana Marie, Amanda 94, and Homie Cummy 9. And for Facebook, we have Jacob McAfee, Keith Hammer Jones, and Heidi Felshaw. All six of you are winners. Send the name I just read to iTunes at mindpumpmedia.com. Include your shirt size and your shipping address, and we'll get those shirts right out to you.
When it comes to muscle-building supplements, almost all of them fall short. Maybe creatine, right? That's been shown to build muscle. But here's an unlikely supplement that's been shown in several studies to improve strength and muscle mass. Probiotics. I'm not making this up. It's actually a meta-analysis showing that probiotics increased strength and reduced sarcopenia in older adults. There's another study showing that young men who supplemented with probiotics had better grip strength gains. So it looks like probiotics are not just for gut health. They also help with your athletic performance and muscle.
Grip strength?
Grip strength. Well, that's a proxy for total body strength. So it's an easy way to test strength is they'll take and use grip.
Yeah.
But they compared them to a placebo and they had a significant improvement above and beyond placebo from a probiotic.
Interesting.
Right. Interesting. Right. And they think, you know, the speculation.
Yeah, what's the theory?
Yeah. That? So the speculation has to do with the, there seems to be a two-way communication street between the body and the gut, which includes the brain, but also includes muscle. So when you exercise, when your muscles are fit and you're building muscle, then sends a signal to the gut, it sends a signal to the brain, but then also the gut does the same thing. And if the gut is healthy, it seems to prime the body for better adaptations to stress, which includes strength training. Now, the cool thing was that the study on young men, they weren't unhealthy. They were just regular guys that, you know, worked out or they had them, you know, strength train. One group placebo, one group took just a traditional probiotic lactobacillus. And they saw better strength gains, which is kind of interesting. You know, probiotics. Who would have thought?
New study?
I can look it up, but relatively new. I hadn't come across it before.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would have had to do more with nutrient absorption.
Yeah.
Reduced inflammation. I'm sure that plays a role as well.
So more like stress adaptation.
Yeah.
And because it's not, I guess, internally fighting all these other factors, like you sort of absolved some of that, it allocated more resources towards adapting better elsewhere.
Yeah. It totally could be. I mean,
it makes logical sense. What's would be most interesting for me is to see, and I know that's like these are probably random young men who work out type of study. Like, be interesting to know like what their issues were, or if they even knew they had issues, right? Mm-hmm. Like, did they just take randomly 100 young men that work out, or did they go, let's help 100 men that complain of digestive issues or like notice?
No, that was what I thought too. I thought, okay, maybe it was, no, they took.
Just random.
Yeah. They took 30 healthy males, aged 20 to 40. And they were assigned to either the control group or to a, what they call TWK10, which is, the group that they gave the probiotic to. And the, like, again, the grip strength in the group that took the, what they call heat killed probiotic, so it wasn't even live probiotic, showed, it was Lactoplantibacillus plantarum. It's a common bacteria you'll find in probiotics. It helped improve their strength gains. And then the other study was done on older adults. And this is a systemic review, a meta-analysis. So this one took lots of studies, and they found that it was correlated or connected to better muscle strength gains and overall muscle mass, which is kind of wild.
It's especially interesting if they're all healthy and they don't have any reported types of like problems with their gut and you know, any, because I would assume that would be obvious, right? Be obvious. And plus, I would assume the majority of people have, they have unreported 100%. Issues that they don't like haven't tested for or are just ignorant about.
Well, I think that's, to me, that's one of the most glaring things about this study, is that you have what they were, you know, quote unquote healthy males, but the truth is they all probably had some sort of underlying gut issue that's going on. Like, I mean, how often do you find that out for a family or a friend that's like trying to get to the bottom of why they're not seeing results. And they're telling you, I do this and I do that and I do this. Yeah. And it's like, oh, have you,
I think it might be more like, like they'll do a study. There was a study that showed that like one isometric contraction a week boosted strength by 20%. So everyone's like, oh, that's all you got to do. It's like, no, it's because people are so unhealthy and inactive that just one contraction
makes a big difference.
Yeah, like community. We're supposed to be, well, I don't know, supposed to be, but for most of human history, we were in contact with a lot more of these beneficial bacteria, both from our mothers. That's where you get a lot of them, right? Through traditional vaginal birth, non-exposure to tons of antibiotics, which now, I mean, you know, cattle are fed antibiotics and antibiotics are sprayed on our plants, glyphosates in particular, which act kind of like antibiotics. And our environments are hyper clean, right? That's why they think they find that kids that grow up with animals or on farms are far less likely to develop autoimmune issues. So I think it's more a case of growing up in the modern world, you probably need to supplement with beneficial bacteria.
Isn't there's a study about that with pets, right?
Yes.
Because of type of bacteria you get exposed to.
Yeah, if children raised with pets are less likely, significantly less likely to develop autoimmune issues than kids that are not raised with pets. And kids on farms are the least likely. Yeah. The Amish, like very, very low rates of autoimmune issues.
Wish it would have helped me. Didn't help me.
Well, I wonder how much, you know what's funny? I might have been way worse.
Oh, God.
You know?
Who knows?
Because you grew up a lot of animals, right?
Yeah, yeah. And on a farm. You know what I'm saying? I grew up working on a farm. Well, at least in my, early teen years.
Were you given a lot of antibiotics as a kid?
You know, that's a question for my mom. That's a good question.
Because our generation was.
Define a lot, right? I do remember getting sick when I was younger, and I do remember taking antibiotics. How often?
Because our generation, it's different now. Now, if you're a kid, now doctors are like, well, let's see. And often ear infections are not bacterial infection, or sinus infection is not necessarily a bacteria. When we were kids,
they threw that at everything.
If you went in with any infection, they didn't care. It was just antibiotics. Mm-hmm. So I was on antibiotics a lot.
Yeah.
My kids, my 3-year-old, I think he's ever only taken antibiotics once.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. When that's I was
like my kids,
when I was a kid, by the time I was 3, I think I'd been on them so many times.
I would assume I was. I don't know though, because I don't recall. Did they in the study? Did they talk about which brand of probiotic or what kind?
No, they're using just traditional the ones that we know that are beneficial, the Bifida, bifido strains, lactobacillus type strain, lactis strains. Those are the ones you'll find, because those are the ones that studies show that are beneficial across the board. But there's a varying degrees of quality, right? Like even dead good bacteria seem to have a positive effect. So you could take a probiotic, and most of them will do this. They'll deliver dead bacteria to your gut because your gut will destroy it, or it's already dead when it's in the capsule.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the refrigerator ones, which I used to think that's where you should get. The refrigerator ones, like by the time you put them in your mouth, your body's not refrigerated. The bacteria dies, gets destroyed by the acid or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You still get some benefit. Now, if you get a good, like Seed does this, right? This is why we work with Seed. They actually have developed this model that shows the capsule traveling through the digestive tract and coming to, you know, it gets to the part where you want the probiotics to be delivered and they're still alive and intact because of the way the capsule is designed.
Is the coating that they use?
Yeah, it's the way the capsules are designed and the way that they put the bacteria in there. And so you'll get, I mean, that's why the difference between Seed and other probiotics is like,
yeah,
it's light years.
Substantial.
Light isn't years that different. Patented? Didn't they patent that too?
That whole process.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like unique.
So not just anybody can do that.
But I mean, you know, muscle gains. There's other studies that show, I mean, I talked about this on the show, probiotics on depression and anxiety. That's wild. Where they see a measurable impact on people with depression just by supplementing with a probiotic.
Well, they've associated that a lot with like your gut bacteria.
Yeah. Right?
How it influences your mood and a lot of factors like that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then like birth control affects your gut microbiota, your the microbiota on your skin, you know, a lot of things do. So it's interesting to see that. And then of course, like I said, when what they're finding now is each generation is we're getting less and less I don't know what you would call it, like a variety or the type of bacteria that we have in our gut, we're finding is starting to decrease over generation because it's less in this generation. Then they have children. And then as the child gets born, they adopt a lot of it from their mother. So they're starting from a lower standpoint and then they have kids. And so this is why you may be seeing the spike in like food allergies and autoimmune issues. It just started compounding over time.
It's funny. It's just like studies like this. It just always points back to like when your body's like overall healthier, you just perform better.
Of course.
It's like as simple as that, but we need like these studies for people to get on board with like trying to improve other systems of their body. Otherwise they just like, I'm just going to keep taking, you know, whatever anabolic enhancer I can to get stronger. Right. You know, meanwhile, their gut's like just violently like speaking to them and being neglected.
Speaking of gut, you know how common parasites are? I looked this up over the weekend. I didn't realize how common they were. Even
you'd
clean,
be looking up parasites. Even,
oh, so gross.
What are you doing? Oh, I look up parasites.
Leisurely.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
They're not as uncommon as you think in modern. If you eat sushi on a regular basis.
You said this.
So you probably have a parasite.
So I pretty much have one.
Yeah, see? Dude.
Chicken nuggets aren't that bad of an option now, right? Am I right?
No parasites.
Shouldn't that have came up on my all the stuff we've done with Cabral, though, by now?
No, not unless you do like a poop test.
So we need to do that one. Yeah. That's why I've been wanting to do that one. That's the one. I'm going to be so mad when he's like a bunch of stuff comes out and he's like, oh.
This Adam wants to draw some heat.
Yeah.
I've never done one of those because like you get a poop in something and then mail it.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
I've done that once. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
So what do? Like you poop in like
We're not
train?
Talking about when you put in a paper bag and you light it on fire in front of somebody's house, Justin.
No, that's
he's like, totally different.
I've What's done that called, that. By the way?
I don't know what you call it.
Poop
is there,
bag.
Is there a name for that?
I don't know. The flame
that's a classic,
bag,
dude.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever done that in here?
Yeah.
Has anybody ever done that?
I did the pee one. Remember
I did it with dog shit. Yeah, one time.
Really? We lit on fire and then?
Yeah.
So people don't know this. The reason why you light it on fire is a person opens the door and they stomp it out, dude. Yeah, and you get poop all over that. It's terrible.
I mean.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
So how does it work? You poo in a tray and then you put it in a bag or something?
This is, I mean.
And then you freeze it, right? And then you mail it? Or do you just send it?
Well, yeah, you just, I mean, you sort of, you collect it.
You didn't have your wife catch it?
No, I didn't. This is all self.
Let me tell Katrina. Hey, Dr. Cabral said we have to do this.
Yeah, and can you give me a hand?
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to do this.
Just sits right under you. Like,
oh, come on.
Hey, you guys took it here.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish it.
But then you got to like freeze it, right?
Yeah.
That's the weird part.
The gross part is you got to have it in your refrigerator.
That's the part that's disgusting.
your freezer.
If someone opens your freezer,
uh-huh.
What's this?
There's some chocolate.
Like, where do you put it? Do you put it next to the meat? Do you put it next to like...
It's its own section, dude.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's its own section.
That's great. What happened?
It was awkward.
What happened to your hand?
Yeah, what's
dude?
Up with the finger over here? Is that a, is that done from your nurse wife too, or is that you?
Oh yeah, this is the nurse wife. Oh, actually, wow.
You were fine when I saw you yesterday. It must have happened afterwards.
It did. Yeah, yeah. Because so we had dinner, and like I'm not used to eating at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for dinner, so. I was hungry.
That's what happens when you have little kids, bro. You're going to bed at 7.
Like, yeah. I'm like, it's dinner time? I'm like, okay, cool. We were playing. We had a good time at your place. But I got home. I was like still hungry. And so I was just like, yeah, I don't want to eat like a full meal or anything.
So you ate your finger? What'd you do?
Yeah, so I got hungry. And yeah, I'll get to that, actually. So I was like, decided to like make a little spread of cheese and deli meats. And
naturally.
And it was so stereotypical. And so I had like this chunk of mimolette still there. And it's a hard cheese. It's like has this rind on it that's like a cannonball. Like you have to like really dig at it to be able to get like, you know, some of the cheese out. And so anyway, I'm like slicing it and getting to the point where like it was pretty low. So I had to like really get in like at a certain angle where it was like kind of down. And I knew this was just, it was just stupid. It was stupid. I should have just left it. Like I had enough, like everything was fine, but I was using this knife and we have a really sharp knife set that like we bought a while ago. And this one was like, it could get through this hard cheese, like no problem. And so I actually hit a spot and it jumped up across, hit my middle finger and sliced it all the way from the fingernail all the way it to where it like was almost flopped.
Oh,
and it was like,
did you get stitches?
No. So I was like, I was going to do that this morning and go to urgent care, but I was like, you know, I'm going to ride it out and see.
Yeah, let it.
I lost a lot of blood last night.
Wow.
Over this. And so that's not even the worst part. So that was what I saw. I was like, oh man, that's a lot of blood. And then Courtney's like, oh, like runs and grabs stuff and is trying to like, you know, stop the bleeding. And I just, and then I looked at my hand and I had all this blood on my hand. I'm like, oh, that's wipe that off. And I look at my ring finger and I looked at the tip and I literally cut off like a huge chunk of the tip of my finger.
Ooh.
And so it like went like across and chopped off like a chunk and then sliced into this side. And this one, like once I noticed that, I was like, ooh, like it hurt. Like it was like very sensitive. Cause like the tips, you know, when you feel things, that's like where you got like the nerves.
Yeah.
So
is it enough to where it's not going to grow back? Or are you going to have a weird looking finger?
I think it's going to be a little weird.
Oh, weird.
So I was a little,
you already
like,
got stubby fingers. Now you really have little nubs.
I do. I'm going to be like nubby now. So you know, the funny part, which is like, I was trying to be like, calm. Everybody was freaking out. My kids, like, were like, oh my God, Dad, you're okay. I'm like, I'm fine. Everything's gonna be fine. Like, just bleeding everywhere. And, like, so I kind of was making jokes to kind of lighten it up. And Everett goes over to it. I'm like, why don't you just go eat? Cause he was trying to get in on the cheese with me and like all this. And so he goes over and he's like eating from the thing.
Oh, God.
And then blood all over. Later, like, no, Courtney's cleaning up. She found the little chunk of my finger.
Oh, come on, dude.
On the cutting board.
You just lost.
And I was like, good thing he didn't eat that.
Oh, that.
But I was like, I was wondering like where it went. You know, I have no idea. Oh. There it was.
Wow.
So,
just its finger.
Dude, no, what I'm pissed about is like, I was really getting into guitar and I was like, and I wasn't telling you guys, but I was like every day, like I was like drilling and I was doing things to improve and try and get back, you know, to what I could play, because I was like obsessed over it for a while, and like I, you know, just decade in between started to suck, and I'm like, ah,
maybe it's gonna grow back so tough now that you play. You know what I mean? This is the beginning of your new career.
Maybe, but I was just like, oh, great. Like, all my progress is like completely ruined. You know, it's funny.
We were just talking off air how serendipitous everything in this business has been. Yeah. Maybe that kept you from being great.
Yep.
You guys
are not supposed to leave us.
I was this close. I was this close, dude. You know, to world tour.
If they never broke up this band, it would be Justin trying to go solo, want to start his own thing and tour.
We didn't tell you, but when you left, Adam and I were discussing this. We're like, he's getting too good at the guitar. Yeah. So we did a little voodoo doll. Cut your little fingertip off. Just had to go crazy.
Damn. You guys are behind this.
What's a plan to go back to the hospital later on, or what, are you just going to like let it ride? Or?
I think I might.
I mean, what's the wife saying?
Come on, she was like,
we know Justin.
She's like, I think you need to go get stitches. And I was like, well, we'll see. You know, and so she's probably going to hammer me about it when I get home. And
yeah, you're going to get flesh-eating bacteria again.
Yeah.
No. You would know by now. This shit would be
swollen. Well, I do know by now. I know. Yeah. It's not swollen. It's not infected.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like a big flop.
Just walk it off.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Just rub it out.
Put some grass on it.
Put some glue and some duct tape.
Exactly, dude. Like super glue is like your perfect remedy to that.
That was my dad with every dog we ever had. It didn't matter what the dog had. He'll eat some grass. He'll be okay.
Yeah, they puke it up. It's like a natural.
What do you mean? His leg's broken. Bro, he beats grass.
Yeah, he'll eat some grass.
He'll eat some grass. He'll be fine, bro.
He'll be just fine.
That is so true.
It was great having you guys over yesterday, man. I had a house
full house. House, huh?
Dude, so many little kids.
So you guys didn't invite Doug and I?
They were not. I didn't invite
jealous,
them.
Jealous because we hung out together?
No, I invited Doug, and then I thought you were in Reno.
Like a bunch of high school girls
over
here.
But it's
always
open.
Saying?
Yeah.
Like, hey, don't tell Doug and Adam.
That's stupid. Doug was supposed to come over.
No, I was supposed to go.
He was supposed to go over.
Oh, so just me.
It's just you, dude.
Just me.
Sorry, Adam.
That's the only one cut out.
No, it's every Sunday, open door. Anybody come over? We had a good.
I'll put the address on my Instagram for people.
Not anybody.
Yeah. That would be like a dirty prank to do with like one of your like friends that have a big following, right? To fuck with them like that.
Like the time he put my phone number in the bathroom at one time. Adam.
He literally good time.
He literally put my phone number in the bathroom, dude. That was fucked up.
Sal Stabone.
That was
salami.
That was messed up. Yeah. Hey, speaking of fingers, dude, did you watch
great. Whoa, I can't wait for this transition.
Oh, listen. Have you heard of the whole Kate Middleton conspiracy? You know who that is?
No.
The princess or whatever. She's in the royal family.
Okay.
And then people hadn't seen her. Like she had, for some reason, disappeared out of the public.
Yeah.
People were speculating.
So she apparently, I'm just going to hijack just this one part. Yeah. So this picture in Vanity Fair was like her with like these kids.
Yeah.
Oh, I did see the
those are her. Those are her kids, by the way.
And everybody's been kids. Photoshopping things in it and stuff like that.
The photo itself.
It's doctored.
Yeah, they doctored it.
Yes.
Because you could see this hand doesn't match that or what's going on. It's not a real photo.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody's speculating what happened to her. Where is she? What's going on? So then she comes out and she does this video where she, you know, unfortunately she has cancer.
Yeah.
And they'd like some privacy or whatever. Well, anyway, internet sleuths took AI detecting technology, because you apparently have these companies or these apps where you could play a video and it'll tell you the probability that the video is real or if it's AI.
Oh.
And people were doing this to the video of her coming out and saying she had cancer, and they were coming out with like 93% it's AI. And then people were zooming in on the video of her talking, and there's one part in particular. Did you see it, Justin?
No, you described
maybe
it,
Doug can find it.
It
while she's talking. She has a ring on her finger. Halfway through her talking, the ring disappears, and then the ring pops back on. Yeah, dude. So everybody's like, "What is really going on?" So the conspiracy theory is that she's a sacrifice, one of the royal family. Apparently, they are part of some. They worship, I don't know.
What?
Yeah. And what? That Princess Diana was the first one, and then they're doing another one with her or whatever, and they don't want anybody to know. I don't know about all that. All I do know is, why is her ring disappear?
All I know is, wasn't she, well, it wasn't her, because it was the other son that moved to Canada or whatever.
I don't know. They were
like the ostracized ones, right? So she was, but was she like in opposition with the crown and their agendas?
I mean, that's what the conspiracy theorists are all saying. Okay. But what's weird to me is, because when I hear all this, I'm like, whatever, dude. Okay, fine. AI tech, you know, detecting technology, who knows? But no, watch the video. You see her hand while she's talking, and the ring literally disappears and then pops back on.
That's the weird part, because
look at this. I don't know if you could push play on that, Doug, to see if that.
Yeah, let me see.
If that works.
It's a nice ring.
See, watch this. She's talking. Oh, it's gone.
Well, I mean, it's behind her knee.
No. That's the ring finger, bro.
Okay, well, okay,
it's there.
It's
not
gone.
There. It's gone. Yeah, it's gone. And then boom, pops
now
back
it's
on.
Here again.
Yeah, dude. So they're noticing little details like that, which is weird. Why would they do that?
Reminds me of, you still haven't seen that series yet, right? With the octopus murders.
Just started it.
Okay.
And you know, the way, you know, typical, we got little kids, so we're going to watch like 20 minute chunks. But we watched the first 25 minutes last night. It's getting good.
Well, the one part I want you to watch is like JFK Adam can kind of jump
bro,
in.
Bro, that's JFK. Crazy.
Because I want to see the original film again, because I know that what they said in the video was that was the original film, which you look at this tree and it's like suspended. So it obviously like been doctored. Yeah. Cause the tree like
has no
should
trunk.
Be in the ground. Yeah, it's like floating. Not in the ground. It's like floating. And so you're like, huh? That causes question. And then they showed what they claim to be the real video. And you're just like,
you said it was a driver turn around and, and hit him.
Yeah.
And shot him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Ron Paul got interviewed, he said, he was asked, you know, when do you think it all went bad? And he goes, JFK got assassinated. He goes, that's it. After that, everything went south.
Well, I mean, if you watch that show, I mean, it was happening before that. It's just gotten worse.
Well, if you read about, people should look this up. If you really want to get into this, there's a book called The Creature at Jekyll Island. Yep. Read about how the Federal Reserve was created. Yeah. True story. It's all real.
That's what got me down the rabbit hole was that book.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And how like they didn't want to allow Federal Reserve, an official one, and then the people who were supposed to vote on it or vote against it, how they died and how
speaking
they were
of the Fed, did you see I think I sent you the video of the cryptocurrency that's getting all bought up right now. Did you see that's what's
how, yeah, so what so explain it. So BlackRock apparently is buying a lot of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why the price of it's going through the roof.
Yeah.
What's the point?
I mean, what do you mean? I think they see the writing on. I mean, I sent that clip to you, and I think they see the writing on the wall who knows what they're telling us and what they really believe is they see the cycles of it and know it's going to make a run again. And it's a place. I don't remember what percentage. I saw an interview where they talked about what percentage of their investments were moving into that, but it was a pretty substantial piece. I mean, in comparison to in the past what they had done. Yeah, so
huge jump.
Yeah. So they whether they're directly responsible for the huge spike or by proxy because they did it and everybody else is now following. Right. So
do you guys have a? So I have a story. I think a lot of people have similar stories like this. I was almost a billionaire story with Bitcoin. You know, because no,
Adam would be if you remember your password, right?
bro, when I used to have my studio, so this has got to be at least
I missed
10 years ago, 12 years ago, maybe.
I missed Google and Netflix bad like that.
I had a client who was a hardcore libertarian. And this is when I was really learning about, you know, politics and government and all that stuff. And his name is Martin. I'll give him a shout out right now. And I remember Martin coming to me and talking to me about blockchain technology. And you got to get this thing called Bitcoin. And he bought a specific computer to mine Bitcoin. Mm. And I remember him being like, dude, just buy like $1,000 worth. Like, who cares? You never know, whatever. And it wasn't easy to get it on. There wasn't a Coinbase or whatever. And it was, you guys know me. If it's too much of a pain in the ass, I'm not going to do it, right? So I'm like, I don't know. But I was this close to buying like a couple $1,000 worth, which today would be worth a couple $100 million.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, yeah.
Had I bought it. I was so close.
I missed Netflix and I missed Google. I trained a girl who was like the, and this was like when nobody knew what Netflix was. They were still doing the
mail in
the DVDs and stuff like that. And I remember her telling me like, oh, this is going to be where they're going and where it's heading. And I remember like her telling me about it. I'm like, oh, this is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And this was just at a time where I wasn't buying any stock. I didn't have a lot of extra money laying around. I thought, oh, I should go. She's like, you know, you should take just a couple grand, same thing, and just go buy, you know, a few shares. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, say, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I missed that one. And obviously that would have been worth a bajillion dollars now. And then Google, same thing. I remember when I had a training another client. She was an executive for Knight Ridder, which is the San Jose Mercury News place. Mm-hmm. And she just, you know, she said, "Hey, you know, Google's gonna go and they're gonna change the game and everything." And I think it was like they opened at $30 or $60 or somewhere in that range. Wow. You know, and she's like, "You should buy a few $1,000s worth of that." And
yeah, again, it was the behemoth. Yeah,
I know.
My dad's favorite.
Then you find me spending, you know, dropping $10,000 in Kuv because I think
that's your buddy, dude. Yeah, I did too. Thanks,
Adam. That's Brendan. Brendan. You know what I'm saying? Think you guys?
I didn't know what it was. You got me all hyped on it.
Oh, you got me all.
Sometimes your closing ability is too good.
I
ignored you guys on that one.
Huh? Yeah. Did you leave us on that one?
Yeah, I ignored you guys.
Doug got hooked too. I think I got all of you guys.
Smells fishy.
I got the worst though. I think I put the most, and so of course,
like, my dad's got a story like that. He used to own. Remember, my dad, you know, he's no education, poor immigrant, saved his money, worked hard, and he's like one of his dreams was to buy. He owned his house. My mom and dad owned their house, And he's like, oh, you know, buying property, I heard that's a good thing to do. And he bought a fourplex in San Jose.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes. He had a fourplex in San Jose.
Would that be worth it?
And, well, there was a recession. Millions. And now my dad being, I mean, he was, like I said, you know, blue collar worker, four kids, supporting them. My mom didn't work at the time. Later, she was a teacher. He would be the guy who would do the repairs. He would show up. He'd fix the sink. He'd fix the door. He'd fix it. So he would come home from work, which he already worked
for. He was just like, this is too much work for
me. And then he would go and he would fix things for them. And then there was a recession. So they were like, my dad was like, it was costing them a couple $100 a month to keep this fourplex.
Yeah.
And so my dad was like, ah, you know, I think I want to get rid of it. Now here's his story. When he tells a story, he says he lost a lot of money. Cause right now the fourplex would be worth, I don't know, $6 million or something like that, or, you know, whatever. He'd be easily bringing in $100,000, you know, a couple hundred grand a month in a year in just rent. But here he says he's happy he sold it because we were supposed to travel to Italy, just me and my dad. And I was only maybe 9 at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to sell it and there was a recession. Nobody was buying. Then a buyer came forward and said, I'll buy it. And my dad was able to kind of break even. Hmm. So he canceled his trip to sell and break even. And he says it was a blessing because we were supposed to go. Everybody was preparing for us to be there and they had this big meal. And there was this, like, I don't know what it was. It was like this vegetable that they had collected up in the hills. They had prepared it for us. We didn't go. We didn't have the big celebratory dinner. Anyway, everybody who ate that dinner, many of them ended up in the hospital because there was some pesticide or some chemical that was sprayed on the vegetable. Had a 9-year-old kid like me eating that, I might have died. So my dad says, saved your life. So that's the story.
My stepdad has two stories where he lost out huge. First one was, so he was a carpenter, contractor, right? And he had his own business. And he built in Oakdale, where we used to live at that time, a bank called Bank of Stockton, I think is the name of the bank. You look it up to see how many branches they have now. But it was like one of the first ones, right? One of the first ones. And when he was done with the job, they still owed him a couple $1,000s and they offered him a bunch of shares in the company instead.
Oh, no.
And of course, you know, back then, $2,000 for my family was like, no, we need this. And so he turned it down. And I mean, I remember when he told this story, you know, two decades ago, how much it would have been worth but it's got to be so much more now. So he missed on that one. Then he had another situation where, and this is a little more or a little less or more unfortunate, but like kind of like who knows. How many now? Wow.
It looks like they have quite a few branches.
Yeah, yeah. It was like one of the first
probably
ones.
About 20 maybe, yeah, yeah. 15 to 20.
He was working for PG&E. And again, hard worker, always been talented in, construction work and efficient like that. My stepdad was known for that, right? And so they had him climbing poles earlier because he was one of the best at it, even though he wasn't certified to do it. And they're just like, oh, Larry will do it. He's so good at it. Just have him do it. And he fell off a pole and landed on his back. And he was like permanently partially disabled forever from that. And so he had this massive lawsuit with PG&E and he ended up settling and taking like $50,000 instead of actually taking the
pursuing it.
Yes. I mean, you're talking about something that should have been, I mean, he was diagnosed permanently, partially disabled from it.
He was bedridden
for almost half a year plus PG&E out of work.
Way easy on that.
Oh yeah. They threw $50,000 at him and he jumped all over it and took it instead of like taking it the distance. And I mean, that would have been massive.
Oh, that's massive. There's a lot of situations like that where people aren't familiar with the legal system.
Yeah.
And
I mean, think about that. You're climbing a pole, okay, where it with for
he's a, not certified.
A union job.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not certified and you
would got at least 10 times
At least.
At least 10 times. At least that. I think.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a lawyer.
I'm sure somebody listening right now will comment. We'll say,
yeah, I'm an internet lawyer.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was, but I sure should know it was more than $50,000.
Speaking of banks, I'm surprised you guys didn't know, and I'm going to tell the audience, just for people who don't know, one of the biggest banks in the country, Bank of America, originally, and I know you guys laughed at me, thought I made this up. It was the Bank of Italy. We were walking.
It's so funny.
I told you guys this. You guys were making fun of me. You thought, oh, yeah, right, Bank of Italy. It was. A.P. Giannini was the founder of Bank of America, and he created Bank of Italy to give loans to Italian immigrants because they were not giving them money to start businesses.
Yeah, I was just down in San Diego. They have basically a little shrine of for him in Little Italy there.
No way.
Yeah.
What an interesting fact. So were the colors different too? And did it originally start in Italy?
Look up Bank of Italy. No, it started here.
So it did start here.
So
it started in San Diego.
He wanted to, again, there were a lot of Italian immigrants. And
who would have thought, like, you would think that it was a terrible name for a bank here?
Well, like, it was because he was it was for the immigrants. Yeah,
no, I get it.
You're right. That's why he changed it to Bank of
Italy. Of course, right. I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get what his plan was.
At one point, he's like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Incorporate everybody.
He had to start with this group and then move on. But back in those days, in fact, there's a movie that's out right now I want to go watch called Cabrini. I haven't seen it yet. I think I showed you guys the trailer. Back in those days, the Italian immigrants were really discriminated against and looked down upon by everybody else that was here. And so he created that bank because nobody wanted to give him money.
Actually founded in San Francisco.
San Francisco. Mm. There you go. Mm. That's right. I should have known that. Anyway, I got to tell you guys, my son is so funny. He wakes up the other day and he sleeps in, never sleeps in. So my three-year-old, 6 a.m., he's up. I don't care what, he just always 6 a.m., he wakes up. And he's just, that's it, ready to go. Well, he slept till like 7:45, which is just, Jessica and I were like, this is like a gift.
Is there something wrong?
Yeah, is he not feeling good?
Yeah, we're watching the camera and everything. Like, this is a gift from God. This is amazing, right? He comes out and he sees that the sun is up because every time he wakes up, it's dark outside. So the sun is up. And he comes out and he's like, wow, I slept so good. And he's walking around all proud or whatever. And then later on that night, you know, we're going back to bed and he goes, Papa, how come? He goes, I slept really good, but I'm still not like you. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I'm not big. I'm like, oh. I'm sorry, buddy. Can I tell him you grow when you go to sleep? You know? He thought he was going to wake up. And like, oh, my God, I slept. Really sleep,
he's all the same height.
He's all disappointed. You know? He's not the same size as his dad. I know. It's cute.
You know how I do the right now? This is funny because I've been sharing this process, right, with the books and, like, getting him to.
Yeah.
So the newest thing I bought this like one of those, what do you call the rock shiner kit things? You know, where they tumble the rocks and then you do a bunch
of... What a great idea. I got to get that.
I know.
So you just collect rocks outside?
So what made me do it was he's already been collecting rocks like crazy. So I was like, he's going to love this, right? So I get a video and I'm like, hey, check this out. And I'm like showing him. He's like, oh, that's so cool. I was like, do you want this? And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, this is going to be like 14 books or some of that. He's like, okay. So I buy it. So I always buy it, right? I buy it right away, and then I set it up. So it's up on my counter right now, and it's got the books that he's got to read. And this has been up there for like 2 weeks. And the other day, Katrina was like, granted, my son has had like the flu for like the last week, so he's a little off right now and everything. So she tried to get him the other day when they're home sick. She's just like, hey, you wanna get your rock thing? And you want to read some books? No, I don't feel like reading right now. but it blows me away that he hasn't bugged for it. He doesn't ask for it.
What a great attitude.
It sits right there on the counter. Like, I'm like, I want it to like entice him. I want him to go like, Daddy, I really want that. So I go, oh, we got to read our books. But we've asked him like twice.
You can give him a loan?
Yeah.
Just get the thing, dude.
So he hasn't done anything towards it this week. And now, like I said, granted, he's been really sick. And so it's like, you know, he's off, and so we're not pushing the issue, but I thought it was so hilarious that this thing came in. I thought, man, I don't know if I could have been like that. If I was a kid and I wanted something and then I saw it like
in front of you?
Yeah, either one, I'm driving.
I would have snuck it.
Yeah. I'm sneaking it, driving you crazy, or I'm doing whatever it takes to get it.
Yeah.
So it's no big deal.
You want it. I know. I've been through the same process with Everett, and like I remember telling you guys about this like grandiose plan he had for like buying an arcade game for the house, and like,
oh, that's right.
And so he was like saving and stacking. He was like maybe almost three quarters of the way there. He was like a couple $100, and like, you know, people were kind of slowly contributing to it. And it's like a big, like, it's such a lofty goal, you know, for him to be able to do it. And like, was doing all the chores, and you know, it would burn out, and then would come back, and he would kind of make a little progress, come back again. Well, apparently like one of his friends actually has the game, and he was over there and he was like playing it. He's like, you know, like
he's over
playing it.
It.
He's like over it. He's like, you know, I don't, you know, I'm kind of glad that I didn't, you know, finish. I'm like, oh, this isn't the lesson I was trying to, you know, teach you with this. Like, yeah, but at the same time, I respect that. Like, it's,
that's,
you know,
how I feel
it's
about
impulsive.
It. That's how I feel, you know, about, yeah, it too, is I'm like, well, this was not the desired outcome. The, yeah, idea was that he would read more and more when he sees this. But then at the same time too, I'm like, well, you know, the fact he's not asking for it, he's not bugging me and stuff like that, like, okay, yeah, you know.
I'm like, you still have your money. I mean, you know, like, this, you can use it somewhere else.
This for sure is the part. I mean, my son's only 4, going on 5. You know, it's hard at this age to see yourself in him, you know, like little things here and there, right? Yeah. Like, we're similar. This is an area that I think I've brought up to you guys before where, like, I am so that person where it's like on my terms. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know,
that's good.
Like, I might want to do something super risky and daring, and then I may not want to do. And it's,
and
like,
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And I'm okay with it. Nothing anybody else could say can influence me one way or the other.
Yeah.
And so I see that in his character. And so I don't want to push it. It's just like, oh, okay. You
know, it is funny to see those traits. Like, my 3-year-old has my cautious traits, and my 1-year-old does not have my clutch. She'll climb anything and launch herself off on
fearless.
And my 3-year-old is like, we got a big trampoline in the backyard. So we put a big trampoline back there. It's a lot of fun. And you should see my 3-year-old go in there. He climbs up, he gets on there, and he just lays on it. Flat. I'm like, you're supposed to jump on. He goes, no, I'll just stay like,
this is better.
I'll just stay
this
like
is safe.
This.
He's
just, yeah. You know what I bought for him that's cool that I think you would love?
But
it's cheap. It's on Amazon. It's like 20-something bucks, maybe 30 bucks. It's for, you get a 2-liter bottle, you empty out a 2-liter bottle, you fill it with water a little bit.
I have to look that up.
You stick it on, I'd show Justin. Yeah. You pump it up.
It's just a bike pump.
Bro, it goes, it blasts off. Yeah.
Send me the link so I can look it up.
It is awesome.
I mean, is it just rocket?
Water, dude, and you pull a string and it goes
up. He's really, the one of the best purchases I've made so far with him, well, two things, I would say, is the, obviously the number blocks, and then the, science kit. Like this, we were doing the science kit again. He really digs the getting and doing all that stuff, and that'll keep him busy for hours.
That's awesome.
Speaking of science, I have to shoe this in while I have the opportunity. This was like another cool experiment. I didn't know anything about it. And I just come across this like video, and it was like part of this documentary of this like experiment where it's called sonoluminescence. So, this is where they take like a bubble and it's inside a liquid, like I guess it's water or whatever. And basically you add sound waves to it, which agitates the gas inside the bubble.
Uh-huh.
And it actually like turns it into this like reaction where it gets a really bright blue light. Actually looks like a star. It gets so bright.
Wow.
And it like changes from a bubble to this little like glowing light that looks like a star. I was like, what the fuck?
Can you look that up, Doug?
Type it's that just in. So trippy. I'm like, and then you start thinking about that, like, you know, because to have sound waves kind of create a reaction like that, you know, and if you think like on the universal scale, like in terms of how stars and how like everything's like light is a big thing, you know, like sound is all part of this. Like
it says the mysteries. So they don't know how it works.
They don't know. Yeah.
Really?
It's just so weird. I was like,
Sal said he brought up, and I don't remember.
Yeah, see, I knew we were going to go here.
Sal brought up on the show, maybe I'm just so bad. Sometimes he brings stuff up and I'm like, oh, whatever. It doesn't sound that cool to me until I see it myself. And
hey,
I saw,
I'm
I know
the same
he,
way.
He
don't
does
worry
it to me too. So it's only fair. Cause I sent over an article. I said, bro, we got to talk about this. This is crazy. He's like, we already talked about it on the show. I'm like, what? I don't remember talking about this. And I saw that they did this study on.
There's a Japanese scientist that Doug's familiar with this.
And they spoke positive things into water and then froze it.
Yeah.
And then they did negative things and it made these like.
Different crystallized.
Way different. Form. Not like kind of different.
No, it's
like,
organized and beautiful.
It's beautiful.
When it's positive.
And then the other one's all.
So they did positive, words of affirmation, positive words, they did prayer. Then they did negative words, criticism, and you could clearly see the difference.
Yeah, these are all frequencies. Yeah. And this is like cymatics and stuff. This is the stuff I geek out on because I think there's like so much more to vibration, sound, and all that we're not like investigating the full potential.
That's why I thought this was so, and maybe I just needed the visual because you probably talked about it and I thought, oh, okay, cool.
Oh, no, the
crystals are a little different. It's like crazy difference.
It's very different.
Yeah.
No, and I mean, look, words are very interesting. If we didn't understand words, we wouldn't think in the same way, the same organized way. Look at those pictures.
Yeah.
Like imagine right now trying to think in for the future or to plan without words. So there's this big debate whether or not we would even have that capability until the creation of language. Mm-hmm. It was language that allowed us to organize our thoughts and to think in more human ways. Yeah. So yeah, all this stuff has crazy power.
Yeah, I just thought that was so weird. Yeah. It's almost like, it reminds me of like the abyss or something. You know, it's like, it's aliens. Like, can you imagine seeing a little bubble and then all of a sudden it just starts like glowing and it looks like this little star? What the hell?
What was that movie? Wasn't that a movie? Was it called The Abyss? What was that movie?
There was a movie called Abyss.
There was, right?
Yeah,
there was.
The Abyss?
Yeah.
It was like an alien that was like a bubble.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I've been, you know, on this like spiritual, you know, journey or whatever. So I'm watching people debate and discuss things and I love their discussion. I heard one of the best arguments. I told this to Adam today. I heard one of the best arguments I'd ever heard.
For the hypocrisy around church.
Yes, dude. So you ever hear this? You ever hear people say this? They're like, well, yeah, you know, I know a lot of whatever, insert, right? Christians who are just, they're hypocrites. They don't, I know a guy who, you know, goes to church, but he gambles, or I know this person that whatever.
Wait a minute, are they human?
Well, so beyond that, like, think of this. Okay. Imagine walking into a gym and seeing, looking around and be like, look at all these hypocrites. Look at all these not ripped people. Yeah. Look at that obese person over there working out. Yeah. What a hypocrite.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah.
Why that's so
it's
good
crazy. Is you're working on it.
Obviously. Of course, that's why it exists.
You know, Sal shared that this morning and I thought, oh, that is, I've never heard that. That's actually a really interesting point. And what's even more interesting to me is that how fucked up our society is that if our audience heard us talk about people in the gym that are fat as like hypocrites, you know what I'm saying? Or
anybody said that.
People would get hammered. Oh, we would be totally hammered over that. But
and justifiably so.
But absolutely not a big deal to say somebody, a bunch of hypocrites are in church.
Reminds me, I've seen some comments. I don't read a lot of comments, but I've seen a few of like some criticisms and things. And we get sometimes like religious people that will like, it will bring up some topics and they'll hammer like, for some reason, you specifically, using like cursing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so for me, that's always been like a bit of a wedge issue. Like, it's like, if you're going to like judge so harshly on somebody in the way that they use language and like, you know, in terms of like the reaction of it, like I can understand like situations and, but to say somebody's less holy or less like enlightened or less like pursuing like the greater good and truth because of like, you know, some language, the discrepancies, like you got to check yourself. It's the whole, like, pull the plank out of your own eye.
Right.
Come on. We're all people. Like, everybody's,
I just, that shit irritates me just because,
well, what irritates,
I'll intentionally use swear words for somebody like that to bring them back to reality.
I mean, I grew up around that, right?
So, yeah, same with me.
And when I see that, I think what's so funny is because these are also the people too that are the most, you know, staunch with like, okay, I'm.
They need rules.
Well, they're so funny because they're the ones that think that they're so hot, holy, and they're on this mission that all they think about is bringing other people to God and this and that, and it's just like, You understand that approach by doing that is like the quickest way to turn somebody off of wanting anything to do with that.
Well, what it amounts to me is use of force versus like, you know, agreeing or presenting something that people can all kind of like agree towards, you know, work towards, or versus like forcing
or just being the example.
Threat. Exactly. The most powerful way, and this is not just
attracting.
This is not just a religious talk.
Yeah, bring it
this
to fitness.
This is fitness. This is your ideas with anything.
Yeah.
It could be going to a movie or dinner with your wife. The most powerful way to get people to agree with you or follow you is to get them to be attracted.
Yeah.
Attracted to your ideas, attracted to what you're doing. And nothing is more powerful than that. Than living that as an example that is so good, so shining, so cool that people go, man, what is it about you that I don't have, I want, and then inquire about it, and then you have the opportunity.
I've been in the fitness industry for 2.5 decades. I am very convincing. I have no shortage of words. I have yet to convince a family member or friend to start working out because I just went up to them and started hammering them about it. It never works.
No.
The only success I've ever had in my entire life is to be the example and then to be approached. And people come up, you know, you got so much energy, or, you know, what do you think about
and,
this diet?
And I'm going to add to that.
Right.
Also, getting to a place in your journey where you're so empathetic for all of their faults and failures and things like that. So imagine these people that you're talking about, Justin, and they're like pointing out all the flaws in it. Like, you fucking idiot. Like, that's like the worst way you could possibly do that. Right. Like,
you just said a bad word.
Yeah, right, you're right. You're right. Fucking idiots. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it at all. Like, that's not going to, you being understanding and empathetic and kind and loving. It's the same thing to your point with the fitness. It's like,
Which means you can still be honest. It's an elitist attitude.
That's right. You can still be honest.
You can still be honest.
Yeah.
I've had people come up to me and say, hey, man, like, why is my energy so low? And, you know, I'm not feeling good. I'm like, well, I mean, you know, let's talk about your diet. And they just be honest. But people ask and they see it.
Yeah. And what's way more powerful? You going like, oh, man, I know. I understand what it's like to struggle with
because
that.
Because you really do.
Because I do too. And it's hard for this. And like, here's some of the things that I work on. Like, that approach is so much more powerful than being like, oh, shaming you?
It's probably because you're lazy.
Yeah. Is shaming you because you're doing that? Like, yeah, good luck getting people in shape or bringing people to God that way. No. Dummies.
All right, I gotta talk about, I'm gonna take a left turn here. Did you guys know that there are
talk about the YouTube comments, bro.
I got y'all.
You're shaming people for shaming.
I just got off that thing.
I don't know, that one got me just because it's just like what I grew up with, the same thing, the same kind of like overbearing like pressure to live under some kind of a standard. And just pure judgment in that, you know, environment.
Yeah, it's invitation.
It's brutal.
It's invitation. Yeah. So I was reading some, we talked earlier about autoimmune issues and stuff. The autoimmune or immunomodulating effects of cannabinoids, it's really interesting. There's more and more studies now showing how effective cannabinoids like CBD, CBC,
CBG. With autoimmune.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it tamps down the severity of the effect of autoimmune issues. And for people with low immune systems, it helps boost it up. So it's got this, like, that's why they call it immunomodulating. It's an immunomodulating effect. So
I've never taken, maybe I should take my Ned like that. Just to, like,
consistently.
Consistently taken it. I use it like as needed. That's kind of how
You can also try it topically. Do you know that? On your psoriasis. I've actually read that it actually can work topically also on the skin.
Yeah, I've used some of the creams like that. Because it's like a dry skin fungus thing, like all oily anything helps. Fills. Yeah. Like coconut oil fills amazing. Like sometimes I'll do that. If I got nothing in the house, I'll go scoop some coconut oil and rub it on there. It'll tamp down like how bad it feels.
So this isn't related, but so Everett he reacts pretty strongly to poison oak. And he'll get it every now and then. And so he was doing his sort of like meet up with the neighbor kids and got it again. And I guess somebody was saying that, cause he was using some kind of very expensive kind of cream to help
the healing process.
It was like, I don't know, some brand name that was like, I don't know, the latest like breakthrough thing. But I guess somebody was saying that Dawn actually is probably the most effective thing you can use.
Regular dish soap, Dawn?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I think the thought process is like because it's some kind of like pulling the
oils. Because it breaks oil down?
Yeah, because the oils is the problem that spreads.
Look up Dawn for poison.
Yeah, I want to fact check it. I have no idea if that's
interesting.
True, but that's what they said.
I just remember the commercials with the Exxon Valdez oil spill and they were cleaning the ducts with it.
Yeah,
you know, little baby ducks.
They always bring that up. That is the gift that keeps giving
forever, bro.
Yeah,
we saved ducks.
We saved them.
Yeah, I know.
Interesting.
What's it say right there? Liquid dish soap or mild soap or very warm running water.
That's not.
I don't think it's just Dawn. I think it's just any.
I don't think Doug Googled it.
This is. I think this is just like internet
dish soap for poison ivy.
Did I ever tell
you? This is like forum.
I just think Dawn got lucky and had their brand associated with it.
Did I ever tell you guys my uncle? This is my grandfather's generation uncle, so he's now passed away, but when he first came to this country, so you know, when they grew up super poor, so when you're in back in those days in Sicily, you work up in the hills, sometimes you live up there for a few days to work and then you come back down and they don't have money for toilet paper or whatever, so they would, you know, go to the bathroom in the hills, and they'd use leaves to wipe themselves with. Well, anyway, did I tell you guys this?
No, but I already know where it's going.
He used poison oak to wipe his.
No, dude.
That poison oak in his, all in his butt.
Really?
Yeah, it's a true story. Yeah, dude. I don't know. How do you deal with that?
You don't. That's
what do? You just sit in the bathtub all day?
Yeah. Actually, that's probably a hot bath. Probably
all day.
As bad as you can get.
All day. But it's supposed to be like an oatmeal bath is what you're supposed to take.
Actual oatmeal?
Yeah, I think oatmeal. Try that one.
Okay, now
I've never had.
Okay, now this is like a would you rather kind of question, right? So would you rather have that like and wipe with that or like Tiger Balm? You know, like something where it's like you don't know.
Tiger Balm for sure, Justin, because that's over and done with.
Let's say it lasts as long.
Oh, well, then that'd be different.
Isn't that like a prank?
Well, because that's one of those, if you don't wash your hands good enough, like it.
You know, the worst about that stuff is like you do some of that and you actually rub your eye or something like that. Oh.
But so what's that? That was a prank, right? You put your buddy's jock strap?
We used to do it to my sister's friends in their bra and panties. And
no, stuff. You didn't.
Yes, we used to do that. Yeah.
What would they just start screaming?
Yeah, no, I got big trouble for that.
Oh, wow.
When my sister's friends would hate
I'd rather the burn than the itch, I guess, is my point.
Yeah. Oh, man, the itch would be
awful. Dude,
butthole and that long. That's what I do. I just sit in a bath.
Yeah,
just sit in a bath all the time.
Just running like water.
Yeah, I just bath all the time.
The way those things work, by the way, same thing with spicy foods. It tricks the senses. The taste buds or sensors to that it's pain. It's not actually pain, but you feel it as pain.
Yeah,
and you can't. There's nothing you can do about it.
Oh my god!
You seen those videos of people eating those like super hot chips?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, there's a couple kids that had to go to the hospital over it. That's how bad
it is. Isn't that the latest TikTok thing, right? Is the chip thing?
I don't know if it's the latest.
What are they like dipped in ghost rebers or something?
You buy one.
You buy Have one you chip. These? There's a gas, they're like chip. A gas station chip, right? Isn't that what it's called?
I don't know, but it comes in a box and it's one chip.
We got Dylan here. He should know. And Dylan, do you know anything about this?
I think you guys have talked about it before. It's like the death chip or something.
Yes. It's like the death chip.
That's so what, yeah, but, the but one chip challenge, they call it.
Yeah.
What kind of pepper is in it?
Pocky, let me see here.
What's going on TikTok lately, Doug?
I have zero idea, okay?
He's working on his latest like routine.
Right? Yeah, I got my dance going on here.
Good deal.
Oh, dude. Right.
We have a shout out today. Is it the chip?
Oh, no. Let's shout out.
Yeah, it's by the way, it's a Carolina Reaper chip.
I knew it. It was some kind of Reaper.
Yeah. Let's shout out the conversation that Justin just sent over.
Oh, I loved it.
Because
my oldest sent that to
me,
too.
I'm sucked into that, and I have
It's Jordan Peterson, and he interviewed
Destiny.
Destiny was the gamer. It's his gamer name.
Gamer handle.
Yeah. Oh, that guy's a gamer?
He's a streamer,
and then he started doing political commentary, got really popular.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a really smart guy. Yeah.
No, he's a very smart kid.
He can articulate his points.
He's like 35. It's a really good debate. It gets heated, but they're respectful.
Yeah.
And they both make pretty good points.
Yeah. I mean, I've only seen like maybe 15 minutes of it, and I was pulled in. I was like, oh, I got to watch this later on. This is going to be
good. It was a really good debate.
I love... You know, and I know obviously you, it's so weird. You bring up Jordan Peterson's name and it's like this massive, triggering for some people. But it's like, man, a conversation like that, I mean, that's what it's all about right there, dude. Yeah. Bringing somebody in who you disagree on, getting after it, but respecting each other.
Yeah, there were no personal attacks.
Well, now if you don't like Jordan Peterson, you'll like this interview because I feel like it's probably the best argument in opposition.
There's another guy that I told you guys that I went down, I looked up that people were claiming like Jordan got eviscerated, which was not true, but it was a good argument and it was an atheist that argued with him. I think he did better than Sam Harris did with him and they went around and around. It was pretty good actually.
Okay.
But yeah, I've heard a couple of his that are like that, that are just, I mean, those are great, great conversations. It's,
yeah, Jordan Peterson, Destiny interview. Element T is an electrolyte powder with the right amount of sodium to power you through your workouts, to give you better muscle contractions and better recovery. By the way, no sugar and no artificial sweeteners. It tastes great. And again, it's the electrolytes your body needs. Go check them out. Go to drinkelementt.com/mindpump. And through that link, they will offer you a free sample pack with any order. All right, back to the show.
Our first caller is Nick from Massachusetts.
Whoa, that room looks cool.
You look like you're inside of a crystal.
Yeah.
How you doing, Nick? How can we help you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
First off, I want to say thank you for everything you guys do. You've helped me both personally and even in my fitness career as a trainer. Definitely a huge help from you guys out of that one.
Yeah. Well, how can we help you?
Yeah. So, let me preface with a little bit of a, backstory, kind of get into my question from there. So I'm 37 now. When I was 30, I suffered a stroke from migraines. But in short, like after a bunch of testing and everything like that, the doctors pretty much said I had a stroke without actually having a stroke. Like I had no typical signals in the testing. There was no blood clot. All the scans came up fine. No burst, no hemorrhage, you know, anything typical never showed up in any of the signs. It actually took them like 24 hours to find it. So altogether, four areas of my brain were affected, the biggest part being my motor coordination. And up until that point, I had been lifting since I was about 20, so almost 10 years then. I had been an athlete my whole life, you know, very active, very healthy. You know, nothing typical that would set it off. And it was kind of just a freak thing. And at the time, my right side completely went numb. And basically, my left side should have been numb because everything they said is it's opposite brain. So it was kind of an anomaly too, because the right side that was affected, my left side should have been numb, but my right side was numb. So super, super weird case. So fast forward to today, pretty much pretty good now, like very slight issues on the right side of my body here and there, as far as like balance and things go. I went through PT and recovery from there for about 7 weeks to just basically stand up straight again and walk straight again. But after about a year and a half of recovery, I got back into lifting, eased my way into it and, you know, got back up to it. But, fast forward to today, what my question basically is, I notice my CNS, everything just doesn't fire properly. I noticed that my right side overcompensates for everything, push exercises like presses, triceps, my back always wants to kick in, you know, my back's super tight. It's always trying to overcompensate like I said for everything. And it's super frustrating for me, especially being a trainer. I know, you know, I feel like I know what I'm doing. I have a lot of experience there and I try to treat myself almost as a client, you know what I mean? Like how I would treat a client and cue them up and do the same thing with me. And nothing seems to stick with me. I can't connect to the muscle the way I should. So I wanted to ask you guys.
From a training standpoint, I mean, you've been working out now for a while since you had the stroke, right? This was back when you were 30 or 37 now, you said?
Yeah, so I've been working out again, a consistent, just about almost 5 years now, four and a half, 5 years.
There's going to be some limiting factors that exercise won't be able to solve. However, I think exercise has done a significant amount in terms of benefit, and I think you can continue to improve. But if there is a limitation due to CNS damage or damage to a part of the brain, then there's at this point, there's only so far you can go without maybe talking to or working.
What about exploring like peptides and stuff or something like this?
You know, it depends how badly the damage is there, I would say. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to comment on something like this. You know, I've worked with clients with nerve damage and we can get pretty far, but there's certain things that just won't regenerate. And so you're working at that point with compensations. I think unilateral training is where I would live.
Yeah, symmetry is the program that I would do.
I would always do unilateral training because you're going to be more apt to develop imbalances or to strengthen imbalances with a barbell than you are with, you know, one side at a time type of training.
Did the doctor say anything about like managing your intensity as you went back into lift weights or anything?
No. So, I mean, they said pretty much just, you know, they kind of trusted me in a sense and just said, you can do what you do, just kind of ease up into it. Don't go, you know, crazy like that. So I know that I've tried unilateral, you know, I do actually like half my routine right now is a lot of unilateral stuff. And I still notice the same thing where it helps, but it's the same thing where my left side just doesn't want to develop like my right side does. I mean, I notice it, you know, obviously I'm nitpicky, but like I notice bicep, tricep, legs, everything on my left side is definitely less strength-wise, size-wise, than my right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's elements of the body that don't regenerate, and central nervous system and nerve type stuff is you know, falls under that category. But I definitely wouldn't stop, and I would focus on unilateral training
100% to not prevent. Half. I wouldn't do half. I'd do 100%.
Yeah, always.
And what will be challenging because you notice a significant difference from left to right is the desire to want to keep pushing the stronger side. It's like you got to mirror what you can do on the weaker side. If we're going to chase symmetry, right? If we're going to try and balance the body out as much as possible, you know, if you can only leg press X amount of weight on the left side, you got to do that on the right side and just mirror it and resist the temptation to want to push more with the more dominant side.
Another thing you can add, and I don't know how much of a difference this will make, but it throughout the day is to try to use the side that's been affected more than the dominant side. Yeah, so
just for frequency.
Balance on that foot more often, use that hand more often, and just anytime you do something, use that side, because that'll continue to send a consistent signal to the body. And there may be some compensations that can happen. You know, the brain's got some plasticity, so there may be some compensations that can still happen. But I would do a lot of frequency in the sense of just living my life. I would aim to use that side more or as much as possible.
Yeah, even like doing like isometric stuff on that side, I think would be great for him, you know? So focusing on things like that. Do you have our symmetry program?
I don't. I usually just do a lot of my own stuff that makes sense. I can try it for sure.
Yeah, we think you'll like it.
Yeah, let's send that over to you and literally lay it, follow it the way it's laid out too, because I think you'll benefit from the isometrics at the beginning too.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's the thing. I definitely don't go 50%. I mean, every day, a couple of days I have like some shitty days, but pretty much I'll try to go 100%. And one thing I learned from you guys a while ago was not overdoing it on one side than the other. You know, on single side, I'll do that side first. Wherever I fail, whatever, and then I just match it.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Okay.
Perfect.
No, yeah. Good.
You're on point, dude.
Yeah.
And I would just guess
time and volume. Yeah.
And I would guess because of your training and your experience and consistency, you're a lot farther than you would have been without those things.
100%.
Yeah. So kudos to you for that.
Yeah. I appreciate that. If I can follow up real quick, if you don't mind, with something.
Sure.
So the other part of that is I notice the migraines got way better since, you know, that kind of happened. They kind of went away for the most part. I get them here and there. Certain workouts definitely trigger that. And I didn't know if there's a way around it or, again, kind of maybe avoid it altogether. So like shrugs, barbell deadlifts and barbell back squats are the three main ones where I basically eliminated them from my workout because it's an instant migraine.
Mm. Nick, this is all central nervous system connected, it sounds like. So those exercises can cause a temporary, more so than other ones, a temporary rise in blood pressure and then a blood pressure drop when you put the weight up. And it's probably when the set is over that the migraine starts to kick in. Or there could be something in the cervical area of your spine that could be triggering, because you just mentioned a bunch of exercises that tend to stress that area a lot. Deadlift, shrugs for sure, and barbell squats for sure. Have you had an MRI done on your cervical spine?
We did like 2 years ago, I had one. Everything was like pretty much normal. I know I forgot exactly, like a couple things were a little, you know, closer than they should be, but they said nothing significant or nothing to really worry about.
Yeah. Central nervous system is where I would look. And, you know, you've probably done everything that Western medicine can do for that. Yeah. I would look towards Ayurvedic medicine or Chinese medicine to see if there's anything that they can offer that can help your CNS become a little more balanced. Cause that's what's triggering the migraine is, And the central nervous system controls your blood pressure up or down. And I've had that with clients where they'll do a set, put the weight down, either get dizzy or get a migraine right afterwards.
Sometimes both.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like your blood pressure goes up and then you get this dramatic drop.
Dramatic crash.
Yeah. More so than you should when you stop the set. One thing you can try is when you rack the weight, tense your legs and keep them tense for about 10 to 15 seconds. That'll help keep the blood pressure up and then slowly release the tension out of your legs. Don't let the blood pressure drop all at once.
Yeah.
See if that helps.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've tried to talk to a lot of people. That's why I was glad to get on here, because I've tried to pick other trainers' brains. I've done a lot of research and it's kind of just standard, like, you know, take it easy or do this. It's also, it's also something that typically someone twice my age deals with. So
no, I understand. Yeah. No, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Can I one quick follow-up, if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Hear it, Nick.
So to go with everything like that, real quick, I do a lot of mobility, a lot of stretching, but I notice along with everything else, my muscles are tight no matter what I try. I mean, I have mobility days. I prime them before the workouts, no matter what. And I know that's affecting things too, which again, is probably a CNS thing.
It is.
Wow.
100%.
Yeah, this is all pointing to that. Yeah, you know,
it is.
Static stretching might be something that's really good for you. Do you have like high heart rate, blood pressure? How's all that for you, by the way?
Literally everything's like perfect. Everything's normal. Everything's good. You know, I try stretching, mobility, all of that. It's quick relief, obviously, but then, you know, workouts, everything, it's super tight.
I think static stretching would be good for you, not before your workout, but you know, at the end of the day at night, or static stretching in heat with a sauna. That gets the CNS to chill out or to kind of balance out a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. But I'll definitely try that.
All this is CNS stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
That's what I figured. I just, you know, go to the experts.
No, you're on the right track. But I feel like too, I wouldn't stop searching.
I would not.
I wouldn't stop searching because it sounds like it's just something that's.
Have you had your adrenals looked at? Anything?
No. Like, you know, normal blood work.
Yeah, but there's something going on with your CNS. So you might want to even go to a specialist. They do these whole body scans now. I don't know where you're at, but over here in San Jose, I don't know how much it costs, or like $2,000 or $3,000. Oh, right. But they do this whole MRI. Body scan of the whole body. They look at everything. And then, you know, they can kind of look at that and look for certain things. But I wouldn't stop looking. There's something that has not been found.
Yeah.
Is what it sounds like.
That's what it feels like. I mean, I've over the years, 7 years now, I've had 8 different neurologists. You know, I Google everything online. Yeah, I try to talk to everybody. There's nothing.
maybe we can connect him with the guy that we know. I don't know if I can mention Dr. Did I say Dr. Khan? Maybe we can connect him with Dr. Khan to see if he can help.
That's a good
him.
Call.
Yeah.
We'll send you some information for somebody that we know that works really well, but you'd have to fly out of the country.
A little bit of email to start.
Yeah. All right, man.
All right, Nick.
Awesome. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. That sucks.
Definitely a, you know, it sounds like it's just like some sort of a rare condition with the CNS that like a normal doctor is just not going to pick up on. Because everything he said was
definitely elusive.
Yeah, back to that.
Yeah. Now the damage he got from the stroke, I mean, some damage you get, you just can't. You can't fully come back.
Regenerate.
And when it comes to peptides, I don't know if they would even help this far out.
Yeah.
Right afterwards, there could be some benefit. Like right afterwards, there might have been benefit from doing a peptide that helps accelerate healing.
Dr. Khan will be a good person to talk to.
Yes, because he's cutting edge. He's way beyond what you're going to be doing with any other.
That's what he needs to look into, somebody who's revolutionary in this
field. And he's dealing with a lot of like young athletes that are pushing their bodies to extreme limits and have weird shit go on when they get hit and hurt. Right. So he's probably the best. I'll be with him tomorrow, so I'll talk to him and see what's up. And then, Doug, you'll have to probably reach out to Katrina to get the email information for him to email in or whatever.
Yep.
She can actually email personally and see if we can get him.
At least to talk to him.
Yeah, at least connected to his team and see if he can troubleshoot more.
Our next caller is Oleg from Lithuania.
What's happening, Oleg?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How can we help
you? Can't believe that I'm here. There are so many people who told you so many good words, and I will not repeat that, but I can tell you that I'm truly amazed about one thing. There are 3 of you guys. You're doing that almost every day. And we know, at least I know that, you know, how difficult the relationships between people are. And you look it professional and fun every single day. So thank you for that. Huge respect for that, guys.
It's a lot. It's really hard to deal with Adam for all of us. We work hard.
A lot of smoke and mirrors.
You have no idea how much shit we put up with Sal.
Hey, I said it first. How can we help you, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So I'll try to go through my mail, and then I will add just one twist to my question, which I totally forgot when I was asking it. So I'm 42 years old. I'm 6 foot, and I'm 160 pounds guy. My main hobby and my passion is windsurfing. I'm competing at a national level, but I'm not a pro. And weight matters a lot in my sport. So I compete mainly against 200 pounds or 210 pounds guys, and they go way faster. And of course, for some time, I've tried to gain weight. And basically, I was a bit more systematic with my training for the past 2.5 years. And I've been doing a weird stuff. I've been basically doing 3 exercises all 2.5 years. I've been doing squats, bench press, and weighted pull-ups. And each week I've been adding, basically, I've been doing 5 sets of each. And each week I've been basically adding 1 rep, which is around 3% of my total volume. So to have that overload. And then when I was hitting like 5 sets, 12 reps, then I was just bumping up the weight. I managed to go from 100 pounds to 155 pounds in squats and bench press. I wanted to go from no added weight pull-ups to 33 pounds additional weight pull-ups. And most of the days I actually hit my protein targets. I use shakes at least once a day, but not all the time. I was almost all the time in the maintenance mode. And for the past few months, I went in a moderate bulk and I gained some weight. And of course, I got some, actually, unfortunately, some belly fat as well together with it. However, my question is, I guess, is not exactly about how to add weight, but is actually how to approach the training. And as a windsurfer, I have two seasons. I have on season, which is more or less April till November, and I have off season, which is November till March. And during the season, I cannot plan very much because windsurfing, it's a wind thing. So if it blows like 3 or 4 days a week, then I'm once in a time I'm in a gym, I'm doing that at home. And then during winter, I'm more systematic with my approach. And I recently purchased this MAPS 40, and the only thing that I actually picked up from MAPS 40 was the checklist. So going to bed, drinking water, no electronics, and yada yada. But I did not switch to the training per se. And main problem is mental, because I was going for the same exercises for 2.5 years. I saw progress. I never had any traumas. And I'm so afraid now to go with something else. Because, I mean, then maybe I will not be gaining any strength or... But I've heard a lot from you guys about novelty. So,
yeah. Oleg, real quick, I got to say something. The workout you were doing... The squats, bench, pull-ups, add one rep
a week.
And then when you get to 12, add some weight, is better than 90% of the workouts that people sell online.
The simplicity of that.
It's very simple, very basic.
Yeah. Such a great methodical approach.
The way you added volume.
Increase volume.
Incredible. Yeah. Now, you're totally ready for MAPS 40+. You're ready for a new program. And you're going to see more muscle gains from a new program, especially because you're adding new exercises to your programming. I mean, you're going to get great benefits from it, especially after what you've been doing.
I'm still so fascinated that in windsurfing, it's better to be heavier.
Yeah. Is that so that the sail doesn't pick you up and you stay more on the water? Why is it better to be heavier?
That's so counterintuitive.
It's a lot about physics. The bigger guys, they have more momentum. They can have the bigger sails. It's just to go faster. In others, if you want to do jumps and tricks, then you better be light and flexible and everything. But in the speed runs, they need to be like fast.
Okay, that makes more sense then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you follow MAPS 40, plus you go in a calorie surplus, a nice small surplus, you'll gain some muscle for sure.
Yeah. And you even touched on how to train, right? So that's what you would follow that to a T in the off season. On season, you do one day a week, like you were doing. You have the
program. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. So off season.
Right. So I'm keeping on season the same routine, and then off season I go MAPS 40 basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What you were doing naturally is, I mean, you actually did a really good job with what you've done so far. I think the way you were programming for yourself is great, and exactly how we would program an athlete in season. I don't want you in the gym lifting traditional weightlifting more than one day a week. That's plenty.
So in other words, you can start MAPS 40 off season or on season, but on season you do it once a week. On season, you follow the program as it's laid out.
But I mean, if I do MAPS 40 on season once a week, isn't that like just, you know, I'm doing just part of the program, then losing so much, maybe then I just need to stay.
No, you're fine because they're full body workouts.
Yeah.
No, you're fine with that program. Uh-huh. Yeah. With that program, you're fine.
Yeah.
You could pick one of the workouts and you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you were doing our split program, that wouldn't be an ideal way to do that.
No.
But because the MAPS 40 is based off of a full body routine, you just pick the full one of the days and you can follow it, and that would be sufficient for sure. Yeah.
The only other option, like it would be like a MAPS 15 where you're kind of spreading out that volume throughout the week and you're just doing really like short workouts to combo with, you know, you're practicing, but just once a week of a full workout routine is going to cover that.
Yep. And the reason why I like the actually once a week versus, because I like MAPS 15 a lot, because if I understood you correctly, the days that you windsurf are inconsistent because it's based off the wind, right? So if it's like you get 3-4 windy days in a row, you're doing it. Yeah. If you have one day and then four days. So having a routine where you have to come to the gym consistently throughout the week is probably less advantageous. A program where you can just do it one day a week, any day that you get free.
That suits it better.
So, I mean, I like you following MAPS 40 year round. You run the in season, you just do one day a week of one of the full body workouts, and then when you're in the off season, follow it to a T, bump your calories a little bit, and let it go.
Damn, that was too easy.
It is.
You're doing good already, bro. I think you did a hell of a job on your own. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you. So then I guess I'll just stick to that. But then once I'm that, I understand every like 3 months I need to switch a program. So basically next time, but since my off season is like 5 months, so then basically I'm good and I'm just running Maps 40. Then I'm going to my regular.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're totally fine. The other program in off season would be like a Maps Performance or Anabolic would even be appropriate. But you're fine. Mm-hmm.
But get good at 40 for now. You can run that a few times back to back to back before we mess with anything. In fact, I would try and squeeze everything I could out of, if you're seeing, which you will, if you follow it to a T in the offseason, you're going to see some good gains from it. I'd keep running it until you start to see yourself stall in the gym, and then we could interrupt that with another program.
Well, all right.
Right on, man.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, hey,
you
got it, man. Yeah, keep us posted.
Thank you so much.
I'd love to hear how it goes, man. Follow back up with us.
Thank you.
All right,
How funny is that?
That's cool.
That some dude, not even a trainer, right?
No.
Comes up with the program and the way he explained it and does it is better literally
than any fitness influencer.
Literally better than 90% of the workouts that fitness influencers
should have asked him what he did for work. I'm always intrigued by someone who has like a
brain like that.
Yeah. Probably engineer or something like that to be that
guy.
Yeah, that methodical.
I mean, it's perfect. Literally one rep a week. He could have done more, whatever. Nope, just one rep.
Yeah.
Added weight when he gets to 12. Like, what a great approach.
Well, systematic.
And the three exercises he picked were pretty good.
Yeah, good.
I mean, that's not a bad combination of exercises.
No, you're going to get plenty of great full body gains from all those. Totally. I love that.
Our next caller is Gabby from Nevada.
Hi, Gabby. How can we help
you? Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hello. This is really exciting and slightly intimidating, but first, thank you guys so much. I've learned so much, not just about fitness and health, but just everything, even you guys talking about your kids. I don't have kids, but I still enjoy even stuff like that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
So first, to start off, I started a bulk in September. I wouldn't say I started gaining weight until probably around December. And I started at 127 pounds. And then through that, I gained around, I would say, and I went up to 137. 133. And then I get these body scans done, and I've done three from October to the end of February. And after that, I kind of noticed that I had only gained 1 pound, 1.3, I think, to be exact, pounds of muscle, and then 5 pounds of body fat, which was really discouraging. Obviously, I did something wrong. I felt like I was doing everything right. I felt stronger. I track my calories pretty accurately, I would say. I only go out to eat probably like 3 times a month. So I'm just kind of confused on where I went wrong, I guess.
How much stronger did you get? Can you give me some like ideas of weights that you could do for a certain lift and what it went to?
So I would say probably an average of all my lifts, I gained around, or I went up 10 pounds and everything. So squat, I started at like 150 and then I went to 165. Bench, I started at 100 and I got 110. I don't deadlift very consistently, but everything else, like split squats, I went up and weighed a lot. Like everything, I feel like I got stronger.
Where's the programming coming from? What are you following?
I just kind of make my own stuff. I do a body part split. And then with one full body day, so I usually do about 5 to 6 days of training a week. Oh, but I
there you go.
Yeah, we're gonna get you.
That's it.
The program.
I can see the program.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem. That's way too much.
I just bought Anabolic Advanced.
Too much. Too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anabolic Advanced is great, but I want you to go to MAPS Anabolic.
We'll get there.
We'll send you that.
Let's start with Anabolic.
MAPS Anabolic. Do the 3 day a week version on there. Do the trigger sessions on the off days. Make the trigger sessions easy. Okay. I'm going to say this again because I know what you're going to do. I can already tell you're going to overdo the trigger sessions. Make the trigger sessions you just want to feel the muscles, not a workout. But then you get 3 workouts a week. That program will take care of. By the way, that's not terrible what you did. You gained a pound, a little over a pound and a half of muscle, gained some body fat. But the problem was you weren't, the muscle building signal wasn't effective enough. And that doesn't mean you didn't train hard enough. It just means it wasn't appropriate. And I guess that you worked out too much.
Yeah.
5 or 6 days a week is just too much to build muscle for most people. People that train like that and build muscle on that are really advanced, genetically gifted, oftentimes on hormones. So MAPS Anabolic, follow it to a T, and you're gonna see your strength gains go up like crazy.
Are you good about hitting Gabby, are you good about consistently hitting your protein intake too?
Yeah, I probably get around 140 grams of protein a day.
Okay,
so
good. You're good.
Okay, good. Yeah, if you're doing that, it's just programming. I mean, you're an example of how this makes a difference. This will make a big difference for you. I'm gonna have Doug put you in the private forum also, because I'd like to keep an eye on you as you go through this, and then just every month check in with us. So as you're going through the process, just keep us posted on how you're feeling, what's going on, especially with like strength and stuff like that. That's what we should notice. Like, yeah, I think you'll get even more.
By the way, your calories, you got yourself up to 2,700 calories at 130 something pounds. Not bad.
Yeah.
It's not like you gained. You're still lean. So you're everything's like the one missing piece of the puzzle is the programming, and that's why I feel so confident that when you follow MAPS Anabolic, it's gonna blow your mind on how your body responds in comparison to how it has been.
And I'd probably, now that you got all the way up to 2750, which is really good, I'd probably hover somewhere around 2500 calories and just follow the programming.
Yeah, follow MAPS Anabolic.
So you're not really in a major deficit. If you are, it's a slight. Maybe some days you're in a surplus. It's going to bounce. And just follow the programming and let the program do the work. And we should see yourself just lean out nicely. And maybe if we're lucky, build a little bit of muscle at the same time.
Yeah. Were you doing strength training before all of this, or was that new to you?
Yeah, I've been lifting for about, I would say, 3.5, maybe 4 years.
Awesome. Awesome. You're gonna love MAPS Anabolic.
Okay, perfect. Gabby. And so I am down to 2,200 calories right now, and my plan was just keep going down
and No. I want you around 25. Then, since you told me that you're at 22, then maybe hover around 2,350 to 2,500. 2,500.
Don't go lower than 2,350.
Yeah. You stay up. You're gonna be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because we gotta feed the gain. No, we have to feed the muscle.
That's okay. That's why I want you in the forum, because I want to hear because I might put you even higher after a month. So I want to hear how you're doing. So stick to a number. Just be consistent with it. Check in with me in the forum and let me know, hey, Adam, this is where, and guys, I've been eating this many calories. This is what I see strength-wise. This is what I see weight-wise. Just tell us what you see, and then we can adjust.
Have you lost any weight at 2,200 calories since you've been there?
Yeah, I've lost 2 pounds.
Yeah. You know what? Let's keep you around 20. Yeah, don't go. I mean, I would even go 24, 25. I mean,
25 was the number.
Yeah, that's 25.
That's the number I felt good about.
Because we got to make sure we fuel the muscle that you're going to get from MAPS Anabolic.
Yeah. And then again, just like I said, keep in touch with us, and then we'll coach you through the process to make sure we're right there. But I think you're going to see some great results from this.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, Gabby.
No problem.
That's it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right,
we'll see you in the forum.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.
Is he going to blow her mind?
Yeah, she's going to be great.
She was working out 5-6 days a week, some full body with body parts split in there.
I mean, okay, so I think we should explain lots what happens, work. Right? You're in a surplus, so your body's eating calories, so it's going to put weight on, right?
She's lifting weights.
And but what's happening is you're getting stuck in that recovery trap. The body's not fully recovering. She's just hammering it again.
You're not adapting at that point.
And so she's not building more muscle, and she's putting on a little bit of weight. And she didn't do bad. It's just not this. It's what do you say all the time that I like that you say, which is it's like the difference between optimal versus what you can handle.
Yes.
You know, so in her eyes, she can easily handle 5 days a week of training, but it's not.
But that's not optimal.
Right.
No. And the programming, who knows what the see, there's so much that goes to the programming that people don't understand. It's not just, am I recovering enough? Am I doing the right exercises? Exercise order, reps, sets, tempo, and then how you piece it together.
Leaving it to how you feel, you can trick yourself really easily based off of that day. So, following a program.
I love that we had an easy answer for her. that's it. It's going to fix
make a big difference.
Our next caller is Tae Woo from California.
What's up, Tae Woo? How can we help you?
Hey. I'm at my gym, and so there might be some noise here and there, so apologize in advance.
No worries.
There is a fire truck. going. Hi guys, I'm from San Francisco, neighbors.
Hey.
I'll just read my question out loud and then go from there.
All right, let's hear it.
So, I'm a personal trainer in San Francisco, and yes, I am in the Elite Trainer Academy course. I have been working out for 15 plus years now and have been able to expose my fitness levels to numerous modalities. Right now, Olympic lifting, powerlifting, kettlebell training, and animal flow are my routines, but I also recently introduced landmine training and have been loving it. I can confidently say that these modalities will be a part of my routine for a big chunk of my career or training, if not forever, especially with animal flow. I'm recently coming back from a low back injury that caused a minor bulging disc and some sciatica down my left glute and hamstring. It's getting better now. This injury caused me to pause and think about the longevity of my fitness career and how I want to model my programming moving forward to lift heavy, but also still not get injured. I still love lifting heavy, so like Olympic lifting, powerlifting, kettlebells, landmine, all of that stuff. But I also love to do animal flow and move like a ninja. My current routine is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, full body workouts, and Tuesday, Thursday. Sometimes Saturdays are my animal flow and mobility training. My question here is, on the Monday, Wednesday, Friday workouts, how can I properly program the other modalities of training without overtraining? How would I know how much volume to do to make sure that my body doesn't feel stiff and tight? So for example, you guys on your programs, you do month-to-month phasing. Do I do Olympic lifting for a month, kettlebell training for a month? I also like the idea of incorporating all those in a month and then kind of going from there. So just kind of needing your guidance on that.
How long have you been a trainer?
Trainer 10 plus years now.
Oh, good. Okay. The reason why I ask that is because when you're combining different modalities, so when you look at a modality of training like powerlifting or Olympic lifting or kettlebell training, and then you find time-tested workout programs like Westside Barbells training or whatever, they're very well made. They're time-tested. They're good. What happens sometimes is when we mix modalities, we don't consider the combinations of certain exercises and how they'll feel, and they're just not time-tested. And it's hard to kind of gauge those things. But with your experience, you're probably going to do an okay job. You'll probably know, I probably shouldn't kettlebell swing on this day because I'm doing this lift, and the day after I'm doing that type of deal. So that probably won't be an issue with someone with your experience. The main thing is going to be adjusting the intensity of your workouts and changing the exercises when you start to notice overuse patterns or issues if you start to move in the same plane all the time. So if you start to notice lateral stability issues or rotational stability or strength, then I would incorporate those. But it's a lot of it's going to be around monitoring and managing the intensity of your workouts. And that's going to be, you know, lifestyle. Like, you know, sometimes you can work out harder. Sometimes you work out not so hard. How do you feel? How's your body feel? Are you progressing, regressing? Are you noticing more injuries? You know, what kind of sleep are you getting? So the intensity is going to be the most important thing to manage for longevity.
That's true, but you're also talking. He's talking about quite a few modalities thrown at one
time.
Yeah,
I'm trying to wrap my brain around where to start.
I'm looking at it right now. Obviously, animal flow is easiest, right? Because that's like a mobility practice that pairs well with everything. And I love the idea of that as a way to mitigate, like, you know, a little bit of overreaching or an off day or in between workouts, right? So that's easy. Animal flow is easy. But I'm looking at landmine, kettlebells, powerlifting, and Olympic lifting, and it's just a lot to slam into a week. So it's like I'm not going to train all those in a week. I'm going to probably focus more on these like mesocycles that would be like, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks long of Olympic lifting, and then it would go to like kettlebells, and then it would go to powerlifting. That's typically how I would want to do something. And not only just because I think that programming wise, it's going to benefit you, but I think it's also going to be easier to see actual real improvements in those things. Like, obviously, you know how technical Olympic lifting is. Like, I wouldn't want to like just get in the groove and then all of a sudden I'm switching out to a different complete modality. So,
Have you gone through our MAPS performance program?
Yeah, I have. So I haven't looked at the advanced MAPS performance advanced version, but going back to what you were saying, because this is what I was thinking too, of like, let's say Olympic lifting and powerlifting are my like bread and butter.
Okay.
And so if I did like a 3 month phase of Olympic lifting, but after, let's say I'm doing a clean and jerk on Monday for like 30, 40 minutes, maybe like the rest of the 20 minutes, I can do some supplemental stuff with like landmine and kettlebell. Okay. That's what I was kind of thinking. Okay.
That's why the original thing that I said was, I mean, what Adam's saying.
Yeah, your experience will be able to dictate that.
Because like, you know, again, if you look at established Olympic lifting routines, powerlifting routines, kettlebell routines, you know, what you're looking at is time-tested routines with good programming. People have used them. They know this combination works and it works well. When you mix different elements in together, you know, you might have a recipe for a cake and a recipe for a pancake and a recipe for a waffle and say, well, they're all taste good. I wonder if I mix everything together if it'll taste good. Yeah. We don't know exactly what the combination is.
That's why we like to do blocks, right?
Yes.
And we like to kind of focus on like developing those specific skills or adaptations.
Yeah.
And maybe if you could wrap your head around what that really looks like in terms of like, well, am I trying to focus on power specifically? Right. If that's your goal, like then that's where Olympic lifts make sense. That's where like maybe using kettlebells in with that type of like power dynamic, you know, you can kind of structure it that way a little more effectively. And that's why I kind of was referring to mass performance, because we were trying to look at like building foundational strength. What do we do in this block? You know, and let's develop that. Now, the next one, it's like people don't move in planes, you know, effectively and aren't strong in different ranges of motion. I'm going to, you know, gather all these exercises that make sense for me to kind of, you know, gear and steer them in that direction to build and develop that like strength. And then, you know, move into power itself or speed power, and then conditioning all on its own. So, you know, if there's a way you can kind of like take elements from that, especially like landmine too, it's like amazing for, power and then being able to move with acceleration with weight. So you combo that in there and you just kind of focus on, but again, power, you want to really reduce the amount of fatigue. So you got to account for that. So, I mean, that's as good as I can
in terms of trying
to organize.
Justin, you hit it. I didn't even think to with your background as a trainer, to Sal's point, like you're going to have a good handle on this. Literally, I would do what Justin's saying. I would take our MAPS Performance Advanced, the blueprint of that, like basically how we have the phases, and then your expertise of knowing like, oh, this is what these guys are trying, the adaptation they're going for is explosive training. I'm going to take some of my Olympic stuff and I'm going to integrate it into that phase. And then you see other things where it's like, oh, foundational strength. Okay, I'm going to take some of my powerlifting exercise I like and I'm going to integrate it in there. So use the way we've mapped out that program, but use your experience and knowledge in all of those different modalities to insert and change out the exercises. That's probably the best way to do this, since you already have a good handle on those modalities. We've already laid out kind of a blueprint of going after specific adaptations. Yeah. That might be the best answer.
Because the why for all that will require us to have like hours long podcast to cover.
If you want two easy answers, answer one is follow those trainings in blocks, or answer two, I think, give MAPS Performance Advanced a shot and follow it as it's laid out.
Yep.
Don't worry about all the other stuff. Just follow it as it's laid out. And what you're looking for in terms of how you feel and move, I think you'll get from the program.
I mean, that's a good point too, Sal, because I know you like Animal Flow, but we address mobility stuff. Just you can do your Animal Flow stuff instead of the mobility things in there. I'm fine with that.
I think if you follow MAPS Performance Advanced just as it's laid out, I think you'll get what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And then, so as far as programming, all that stuff, like all that stuff that you said, so would it be, so I know performance has like month-to-month phasing. And so like Justin said, like the month one could be like strength or power focus, and then going from there, and then adding in like supplemental stuff in between, or like towards the end of the workout. Is that kind of what you guys are getting
no, at? No, no. If you follow the programming, like the way you would do it is the only thing that you would add or change in that program is you would take out an exercise and put in something that you want. So if there's like, let's say we're missing, because we don't have a lot of Olympic lifts, like traditional Olympic lifts in any of our programs. So if there's like a phase where we have you doing an exercise where you're like, oh, I'd rather do
phase three.
Right. I want to do an Olympic lift right here. Then,
but pull. It has to match.
Yeah. So it needs a match.
You don't replace dumbbell curls, and not that they're in there.
But, right. Right. Know. Right. You need to replace a movement. Don't add to the program. Take out something that you don't want to do. Replace it with a movement that you want to do. And it'll make sense in that phase on what to replace. And if you add anything, it needs to be like Animal Flow. All the other modalities, like you're going to get, we have landmine inside there. We don't have kettlebell. inside that, but you could easily switch out some things that or we do traditionally in there, right?
Yeah, we do. So if he's talking about performance advanced, we do have like some kettlebell. We have landmine specific exercise. And it's structured within like if power was my focus, here's how I'm sprinkling that in as the skill I'm focusing on. It's lower intensity, the training between that, but then now we reduce it down to like two basic like foundational strength days per week, and you're just supplementing that the rest of the week with low, you know, to moderate level intensity, real hyper focused on the skill. So if that makes sense to you, like you could really go through that and get all the ideas of how to structure what you're talking about by just, you know, deliberately going through that and kind of, okay, this is how, you know, they pulled these exercises and put it in for this phase. I can do that with all those other pursuits.
I mean, Tay, you're in our forum too. So like, I'm like, follow the program and then you don't, I mean, check in with us. Just go like, hey, I'm thinking about pulling this out and I'm going to put this in. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
And we'll and run it by us. If you don't already know, I feel like you're going to have a pretty good, I think you're going to be able to do a lot of this on your own. But if there's something that you're not sure about, just post in the forum and say, hey, I'm following the maps of performance advanced. I want to pull this exercise out and I want to put this one in. What do you guys think about that? You think that's a good move? And then we'll tell you yes or no.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I like it though. I like all the modalities
that's
you're doing.
Pretty
bro.
Much it. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Make you a good
thank
trainer.
Thank you. Thank you. And then one last thing is, can I ask one last thing?
Go ahead.
Sure.
For that, since everything is like very skill focused, would it be, I mean, obviously like, would it be beneficial to focus on like these months of like just going like medium, light to medium weight, but just like focusing on just the skill asset of it? And then once I, because I'm still kind of recovering from the injury, and then feel better going.
Absolutely. That's why I think performance advanced is really like going to be perfect for what you're talking about. Like it's literally structured like that. So go through that and you're going to get a lot of what you're trying to figure out just by going through it.
Perfect. And then just one last thing, if I can.
Go ahead.
sorry.
You're good.
So I'm in San Francisco. My gym, we're completely outdoors. And so I know you guys have talked about, like, oh, is there like a completely outdoor gym? Like today it's sunny. I can show you guys in a container, but we have a full set of gyms equipment out there.
Awesome.
And so if you guys are up in the San Francisco area, let me know. And then we can do some... workouts together or something like that.
All right, awesome. Man. All right. Appreciate that, Tay.
Thank you.
So thank you, guys.
All right, man.
Got it. Holmes.
Take it easy.
Have a good one.
One of the workouts is fight off the homeless people.
Sorry. Yeah. It's apocalyptic training.
That's terrible.
A typical like trainer, right? Like just fucking that loves what he does. You love that, though. I mean, he's doing all kinds of.
Yeah. Gonna be. I bet. Look, with my experience, if I were going to learn or train in any of those ways, I would follow programming based on that. Because when you mix things together,
Justin hit that on the head. I don't even know why that didn't even dawn on me. Because I was looking at all this stuff, I'm like, fuck, how would I like sitting right now trying to piece together?
This is like what we do when we try to create a program. It's takes a long time.
I need 3 days, bro, to sit down and really think this out, like to try. But then you're right. You follow mass performance, and then you literally can take the things that maybe we don't have in there, which is what actually really covers most of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then learn as a trainer, you should know how to.
I mean, even the rotational skill in there is going to cover a lot of the animal flow stuff. So if he goes through it, he's going to be like, oh, okay. It's going to make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Look, we have a lose body fat guide at mindpumpfree.com. It's totally free. Check it out. You can also find us on social media. Justin is on Instagram at mindpumpjustin. I'm on Instagram at mindpumpdestefano. And Adam is on Instagram at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.